to the Howie Silbiger Show on the True Talk Radio Network. Get in on the conversation. Call 1-877-669-1292.
Hi, I'm Howie Silbiger, and welcome to the Howie Silbiger Show right here on the True Talk Radio Network. I do appreciate you joining me. I'm happy to be here, and it's been quite a while since we've been on. I think the last show we did was in July, before we had that devastating flood here in the studio. Everything's back up and running, so I'm happy to be back, and I'm happy that you could join me again here on the Howie Silbiger Show. If you want to call in, number to call, 1-877-669-1292. That's 1-877-669-1292 to get in on a conversation right here on the Howie Silbiger Show on the True Talk Radio Network. It's been quite a busy couple of months, and it's hard for me to even choose where to start. So let's start with the obvious. Hassan Nasrallah getting killed yesterday, being assassinated by Israel. I think it's about time he was eliminated. As Jews, we shouldn't really be celebrating the death of our enemies. That's not something we should be doing. But at the end of the day, this man was a Jew killer, responsible for killing many, many, many Jews and putting the lives of Jews at risk for many years. The world is much better off without him. And so that's pretty much all I want to say about Hassan Nasrallah. I think the Israeli mission to eliminate Hassan Nasrallah was absolutely amazing, right out of some kind of spy novel. It was reported today. I don't know if you saw this report, but it was reported today that in order to track him, an agent shook his hand last week and had some substance on their hand that they transferred to his hand that was waterproof and that stuck to your hand and stayed there. And it was a tracking device that was stuck on his hand. That's how they knew where he was, and that's how they knew where to drop the bomb. It's just unbelievable, the technology and the way that Israel did this. And I think I would say miraculous. That would be my honest evaluation of the situation would be miraculous. But then again, that's just my opinion. So Hassan Nasrallah is dead. All of Hezbollah is pretty much dead. The entire leadership of Hezbollah is dead. Pretty much the entire leadership of Hamas is dead. Hopefully this will lead to peace in Israel. Hopefully this will lead to an end of hostilities in Israel. And hopefully Israel will be able to live in peace for at least a couple of years till they rebuild and start all over again. That seems to be the situation. Whenever Israel has peace, that's always the situation where they are trying to rebuild and then they will start attacking again. So let's hope that doesn't happen. Let's hope it takes them a long time to rebuild. Let's hope that the peace treaties that Israel has with all the countries around them work and everybody is safe and sound and happy in Israel, and that the whole region becomes a prosperous region. It is kind of ridiculous that this place is a hellhole when it could be the most prosperous region in the world. So let's hope that that's where this all leads to. I don't really want to talk more about the situation in Israel because something else happened this past week, or at least a week and a half ago, that bothers me even more than that. So many people know, I'm sure some of you have seen the signs and some of you have heard me talk about it. I'm running for school board elections in Montreal. And I didn't really want to run, but then some really good reasons were given to me to run. So I decided to throw my hat into the ring and I'm running for school board elections. I'll be running in the Côte-des-Neiges area of Montreal. And the current sitting commissioner on the school board in Côte-des-Neiges, I'm not going to name her because I wouldn't give her the dignity of saying her name. But the current sitting commissioner in Côte-des-Neiges, the one who's sitting in the ward that I'm running for, had a discussion with the leader of the party I'm running for and told her that I am the wrong type of Jew to run for this ward. The wrong type of Jew. Now, this person sitting as a commissioner claims to be Jewish herself, and I just found that really a disturbing statement. What kind of Jew do you have to be to run for the school board? What type of Jew is the wrong type of Jew to run for a school board commissioner seat? Apparently, I'm the wrong type of Jew, according to her. So I made it. At that point, I decided that this is what I have to do. I have to win the election. So I'm urging everybody who lives in Montreal, who could vote in the English Montreal School Board elections, to get out there and vote for me, of course. Who else would you vote for, really? So get out there and vote. If you live in my riding, get out there and vote and elect me. And let's show Jew haters, particularly Jew haters from the Jewish community, that I'm the type of Jew that could be elected into the school board. I'm the type of Jew that could do anything I want. Nobody's going to discriminate against me because of the type of Jew I am. Nobody's going to tell me that I can't do something because I'm an Orthodox Jew. Well, maybe the Quebec government, who told me I can't teach in a public school because I'm an Orthodox Jew. Maybe they're the only ones who could do that. But nobody else is going to limit me because of my religiosity. I want to be elected for my merits. I want to be elected for my skills and my experience. I don't think my religious observance or anything else that has to do with my religion has anything to do with the election. So just bringing that up makes me want to trounce her. So let's trounce her in the election and get out there, tell your friends, tell your family, tell everybody that could vote to come out and vote for me. All right, that said, let's move on with the show. I don't like talking about myself, although I do it a lot. I don't like talking about myself too much. So let's move on with the show. I don't think that it has been publicized enough, and I think we should publicize it even more right now, that on October 7th, McGill and Concordia, the Arab Students Associations at McGill and Concordia University in Montreal, are planning to have a celebration commemorating the October 7th murder of the Jews in southern Israel. They are planning to have that on campus. They are planning to have a party to celebrate it and to commemorate this historic, heroic event, this heroic event of resistance, where 1,200 Jews were brutally murdered by terrorists that came through the border. And the universities haven't said a word about stopping it. The police haven't said a word about stopping it. Politicians haven't said a word about stopping it. I think it's time that the grassroots citizenship should finally tell these politicians, the ones who are in charge, Madame Valerie Plante, Justin Trudeau, Legault, we should tell these politicians to take a hike. It's time for grassroots to get out there on the streets and start protesting themselves. We can't allow people to celebrate the murder of Jews. I just started the show saying I'm not celebrating the murder, the assassination, the elimination of a terrorist mastermind because I don't think it's appropriate to celebrate the death of anybody. So celebrating the death and the murder and the massacre of 1,200 Jews, that's really not appropriate. You got to remember that they weren't just murdered. It wasn't just line them up and shoot them like the Nazis did. This was a lot more horrific. They burned people alive. They burned babies in front of their parents and parents in front of their babies. They raped dead people. They took bodies, hostages. There's still over 100 hostages being held in Gaza. They took children hostages. So this was not an act of resistance. This was not an act that would liberate Palestine as they claim they want to do. This was a pogrom that was organized to kill Jews. And the more Jews that were killed, the better it was. Now, we know this not because I'm saying it, not because it was reported. We know this because the Hamas terrorists that were captured after this attack, after this massacre, pretty much said this. This was what their testimony was, that they were ordered to go and kill as many Jews as possible and kidnap as many people as possible and take as many bodies as they could take over the border as possible to hold hostage. Not to liberate the land, not as a force of resistance against an occupying colonialist occupier. They did this because they wanted to have some prisoners released. It was to create a prisoner exchange. That was what they testified. So imagine. They wanted to release prisoners. They wanted to get a prisoner exchange. So they went and they killed 1,200 people and kidnapped over 300. How crazy is that? And yet somehow the world managed to twist that situation to turn a massacre, around and blame the victim. They somehow managed to blame Israel for Hamas coming in and killing 1,200 people. Israel suddenly became the aggressor. Hamas got on, members of Hamas, leadership of Hamas, got on television the day after the massacre and said, and you can watch it, look it up on YouTube, it's there. They got on television and said, not only did we commit the October 7th massacre, not only did we do that, but we will commit October 7th day after day after day after day. Every day will become an October 7th for Israel. That's what they said. That's what the leadership of Hamas said. And so if the leadership of Hamas is saying that, they mean it. I said this before and I'll continue to say it. When my enemy tells me they want to come and kill me, I have no reason to doubt them. When my enemy comes and says, I want to kill you, I want to kill your family, I want to kill your people, I want to destroy you, I have no reason to doubt them. There is absolutely zero reason, and nobody can give me a reason. If you can, give me a call. But there is zero reason to doubt somebody who comes and tells you, I want to kill you. So what are we supposed to do when someone says, I'm going to kill you, and I'm going to kill you again and again and again until you're all dead? What are you supposed to do? Sit around and wait for that to happen? Or are you supposed to defend yourself? If an October 7th happened in New York, oh wait, it did. It happened on September 11th, 2001. What did America do after the attack of the world on the World Trade Center in 2001? World Trade Center, the Pentagon, what did America do? America passed the Patriot Act 3 days later. What was the Patriot Act? It stripped American citizens of their civil rights. It allowed the government to arrest anybody on a whim just because they figured that you were a terrorist. They didn't have to have any proof to search you, to tap your phones, to do anything. And they could incarcerate you indefinitely. And they went and they destroyed Iraq. They destroyed Libya. They destroyed a bunch of other countries, Afghanistan, in retaliation for the September 11th attack. Were they condemned? Well, maybe a little bit. But everyone understood that there was a massive attack on New York City, that 3,000 people were killed in one day, over 3,000, and that America had the right to defend themselves and to attack and to eliminate the threat that they felt that was happening to their country. So if America had the right to do that, then why doesn't Israel have the right to do that? Days after the attack on October 7th, Hezbollah started launching missiles into Israel. Now, Israel is used to having missiles launched into him because everyone always forgets, and this is something they forget time and time again, and you read the reports and you read everything, and nobody ever mentions this, that before October 7th, Hamas had been launching missiles into Israel, into civilian populations in Israel, had been launching indiscriminate attacks on the civilian populations for 15 years. 15 years, tens of thousands of missiles landed on the heads of the civilians in these southern towns that they attacked on October 7th. The people in these towns were so used to having missiles falling on their heads that the first thing they did when the air raid sirens went off, because they were being attacked, so the sirens went off, is they ran to their bomb shelters because that was their safe zone. You run to the bomb shelter. That's what they're trained to do. So hundreds of people, thousands of people ran to the bomb shelters when the sirens went off, saying they were under attack. Now, the Hamas terrorists knew that this was the protocol, and this had been a protocol for nearly two decades, and they took advantage of that, and they killed people in the bomb shelters. So they found them in their safe rooms, they found them in the bomb shelters, and they killed them in the bomb shelters. It's like a school shooter who walks into a school and opens fire in the school and then pulls the fire alarm so more kids would be coming streaming out the door so he could kill more people. It's a tactic used by many mass murderers. Hamas used that tactic on October 7th. But nobody talks about the missiles that were landing in southern Israeli towns for decades. Nobody. I haven't heard one pundit, haven't read one article, haven't heard one person mention that towns like Sderot, Barry, were receiving missiles after missile after missile. In fact, Sderot made a whole industry out of the missiles that were being launched into them. They take the missile shells and they use them and they make the art out of them. They make menorahs out of them. They do all sorts of stuff with them. They distribute them around the world. In fact, the synagogue I go to has one in the lobby. A piece of art, a menorah that was made out of missiles that were fired from Hamas into Sderot. But nobody talks about that. Because the indiscriminate launching of missiles into innocent Israeli population seems to be okay. Nobody cares. Nobody cared that children, women, children, innocent men, women, and children were targets of indiscriminate bombs. Bombs landing on their heads, bombs landing in their nurseries. There were no condemnations. The UN didn't care. Nobody cared. And the more Israel talked about it, the more Israel complained about it, the more Israel mentioned it, the more people didn't care. It's only Jewish life. Jewish life is cheap. Nobody cares about Jews. People are walking through the streets in Western civilized countries yelling, "Kill the Jews," and nobody's stopping them. Jewish synagogues have to spend billions of dollars across North America and across Europe in protection, in security protection, when churches can leave their doors unlocked 24 hours a day. Jews have to carry ID cards, have to identify themselves as Jews in certain towns and cities in order to gain protection and to get into certain areas of the city where Jews live. Is this right? Absolutely not. Is this a sign? I would say it's a sign. I would say it's a sign that our welcome in North America and our welcome in Europe is over. That's the sign that we're seeing. That has been the sign for many years, but it's getting a lot stronger now. As our neighbors are telling us, you've outlived your welcome. It's time to move on. Are the Jews listening? Absolutely not, because Jews don't tend to listen until it gets violent. Will it get violent? It's already getting violent. Jews in France have been advised by their rabbinic leadership not to wear anything identifiably Jewish when they leave their homes and when they leave their synagogues. And they follow that order strictly. I have a friend who was just in France who was telling me that she was staying with a very, very religious family. And the second they left the house, all the kids took off their kippahs and put on baseball caps, because they can't wear kippahs in public, because if they do, they will be attacked. Do we want the rest of North America? Do we want North America to become like France? To become like England, where they were marching through the streets yelling Hitler didn't finish his job? Do you want to become like Sydney, Australia, where in front of the Sydney Opera House, a gang of Hamas supporters were standing there screaming "Gaz the Jews"? Is this what we want? Is this how we want our society to be? So how do we change this? What do we do? So we have a couple of options. And a couple of options, I've laid these out on the table before, and these are the options that we have. This is what we have to do. So number one, we have to start teaching our community self-defense. If we are planning to stay in North America and planning to stay in Europe, then our people, the people who live in these countries, have to learn how to defend themselves. They have to learn how to defend themselves verbally, and they have to learn how to defend themselves physically. It's inherently important. Number two, you have the option to move to Israel. Now, a lot of people tell me, Israel's more dangerous. Is it really? Is it really? At least in Israel, you have a Jewish army defending Jewish people. Is it more dangerous? I wouldn't say so. I really wouldn't say so. But that's the second option. I mean, these are really our only two options. Either you stay here and you defend yourself and you stand your ground, or you leave and you go where you're wanted. Now, which option is the Jewish community going to choose? They're going to choose to stay. I could tell you that from experience. I could tell you that from history. This is why we learn history, so we understand how people react and how people act and react. And when we go look back at history, we see that when things got bad for the Jews said, "Oh, it'll only get better. Don't worry about it. It's a passing trend. It's a passing phase." But it's not a passing phase. It's going to get worse and worse. And the worse it gets, the harder it will be for Jews to leave. The only difference we have between now and 1933 is the State of Israel. It's the only difference we have. That the State of Israel will fight to save every Jew in the world. That's the only difference we have. There's no other difference. The hatred's still the same. We saw that, we just saw recently, that our friends and neighbors will have no problem turning Jews in, beating Jews, killing Jews. They'll have absolutely no problem doing that. We saw that. We know that. We understand that. So as long as we understand where we stand and we understand where we are, then it's up to us to make a decision on what we're going to do and how we're going to save ourselves. My recommendation, it's been my recommendation for a long time, time to go. Fill out your paperwork, get your bags in order, and get out as quickly as you can. I'm Howie Silberger. This is the Howie Silberger Show. Thank you so much for joining me. I'll see you again next time right here on the True Talk Radio Network. Don't forget to check out the website, truetalkradio.com. where we have a full schedule of programming on True Talk Radio. You can download the True Talk Radio app from your favorite app store and listen to the full schedule 24-hour program we have. Till next time, have a great one. I'm Howie Silberger. Have a good one.